The State Department pats itself on the back for its quiet diplomacy while Pastor Saeed is robbed at knife point.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I just, for the life of me, cannot understand for a nuclear scientist why you couldn't get a pastor and a former FBI agent and some one other person out. Seems to me that's a pretty good deal, but why? But worse than that, it wasn't raised. And somebody better explain to me why at least they didn't bring it up.
I want to think about something that the late, great Chicago film critic Robert Ebert said. Kindness, he wrote, covers all of my political beliefs. Kindness covers all of my political beliefs. And when I think about what I'm fighting for, what gets me up every single day, that captures it as much, just about as much as I have it. Kindness, empathy, that sense that, you know, I have a stake in your success.
Should they have not at least raised the issue? Every time we go to China, we raise human rights.
Yes.
Why not raise this guy's name?
And it's strange that they didn't.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Because when the president called the new leader of Iran, Rouhani, he actually brought up the pastor.
Right.
And to his credit, Obama brought it up. But the fact that he didn't follow up is mind-boggling. And if I'm the Iranians, I'm like, are you really serious about getting him back? I mean, it can't be that big of a deal. You mentioned him on the phone, okay, but you didn't bring him up in negotiations.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is David French coming to you from our ACLJ Media Center, and I've got along with me Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Jay and Jordan, if you followed the broadcast yesterday, you know that Jay and Jordan are in Germany right now on a diplomatic mission to save Pastor Saeed, meeting with leaders from Germany, leaders from Turkey, leaders in the religious community around the world, making the efforts that our government will not make to try to save Pastor Saeed. You know, Than, I am struck by something here. One of the things that was not in those sound bites is there's been news reports that Secretary Kerry has been describing the quiet diplomacy, the behind-the-scenes diplomacy that is being that they're working on to try to get Pastor Saeed and other Americans imprisoned in Iran out of Iran. And it struck me that they live in this world of words where they think that their words matter more than their actions. Because here's an action that's actually happened. Iran has transferred Saeed to a brutal prison, an even more brutal prison. Here's another action that we just learned about yesterday. Saeed has been robbed at knife point in that prison of what few possessions he's been allowed to have. So there's this world of actions in the real world, and there's the world of words that the Obama administration inhabits, and the two are not meeting up.
You're absolutely correct, David, and I would just say quiet diplomacy is about the most despicable comment I can think of. I can think of another word for it. It's called silence, and that's what this government was when they sat across from the Iranian regime, when we had a U.S. citizen that was guilty of no crime sitting in one of their prisons. And you know, I was thinking about this morning, David, and one of the commands from Scripture that we have is that we care for the fatherless. I have children. You have children. And when I think about what I would want done if I were in Pastor Saeed's situation, I would certainly want my government to stand up for me. But more than that, I would want people around the world to raise their voice regardless of what any government was doing. And I think that's where we fit in here at the ACLJ, our members. It is time for us to, quite frankly, go beyond what the United States government is doing. It is time for us to raise our voice to insist that Iran release Pastor Saeed as one of our brothers and sisters. And David, I think today, as Jay and Jordan are in Germany, that is what this broadcast is all about, is calling all of our listeners to sort of ignore what the administration is doing and to raise our voices for Pastor Saeed.
Well, that's exactly right. It is time to go around the administration. We want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Let's talk. We're going to be talking today about the administration's betrayal of Pastor Saeed and this world the administration is inhabiting where words matter more than actions, because the actions that are going around the world, our reputation is crumbling, our people are being left behind, Iran is galloping towards a nuclear weapon, but the administration pats itself on the back because it can deliver speeches and it can talk about quiet diplomacy. We are breaking things that cannot easily be fixed right now. And we want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110.
It is an outrage. There are now reports that the Obama administration secretly agreed to release a top Iranian scientist arrested in this country for attempting to aid Iran's nuclear program as part of that so-called nuclear deal reached with Iran. But American pastor Saeed Abedini, imprisoned in Iran simply because of his faith, is left behind. His release, not even brought up by the U.S. as a precondition to the talks. So the U.S. frees an Iranian scientist being held on serious charges, and Iran continues to hold a U.S. citizen with no pressure applied by the U.S. to release him. Unbelievable. This week, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow is leading a team to Europe, part of the ACLJ's ongoing effort in this country and abroad to generate support for Pastor Saeed. You can help. Demand President Obama and Congress renew sanctions until Iran abandons its nuclear program and releases Pastor Saeed. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Sekulow Live. This is David French, Senior Counsel for the ACLJ, with Than Bennett in our Washington D.C. who's in our Washington D.C. office. We are guest hosting today while Jay and Jordan are on a critical diplomatic mission to Germany for Pastor Saeed. They're meeting with world leaders in Germany. They are meeting with key leaders in the religious community, and they are doing what our U.S. government should be doing, and that is engaging in a full court press to save Saeed. You know, I have to go back to a bite that was played in the first segment, Than. This is President Obama talking about his philosophy of politics and his political beliefs. Can we go with bite six?
I want to think about something that the late, great Chicago film critic Robert Ebert said. Kindness, he wrote, covers all of my political beliefs. Kindness covers all of my political beliefs. And when I think about what I'm fighting for, what gets me up every single day, that captures it as much, just about as much as anything. Kindness, empathy, that sense that, you know, I have a stake in your success.
You know, I can't get over that soundbite for two reasons. Reason number one, what an enormous amount of self-love is encapsulated in that soundbite. What an enormous amount of self-regard, believing himself to be so very, very kind. And then the other thing that jumps out at me is how completely false it is, because kind people do not leave Americans behind to suffer. They do not leave Americans behind to die. And if there is one of the foremost legacies of this administration in foreign policy, it's that he leaves Americans behind. Ask the families of those who fell in Benghazi when they were stripped of security, when there were increasing warnings of terror attacks and denied military aid in the middle of a terror attack. Stripped of security, denied military aid. That's not kind. And then what about Pastor Saeed? Cutting deals with Iran, releasing Iranian nuclear scientists, giving Iran billions of dollars in sanctions relief, giving Iran humanitarian relief, but not even bothering to get three Americans out of prison who are unjustly imprisoned in Iran, including one who is literally in chains for nothing but the gospel. I mean, Than, this attitude, this self-regard that is so at odds with the facts, I mean, that's why we have to go around the administration at this point.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, David, Pastor Saeed's situation is just highlighting what this president's foreign policy has been since the beginning. I mean, you think back to the Cairo speech where it was all about appeasement. It was all about buying friends and being nice to our enemies, and they in turn will like us. And unfortunately, it just doesn't work. I mean, you can talk about kindness all you want, but when you've got an administration that sits across from the Iranian regime and does not have the resolve to make it a priority to insist that one of your wrongfully accused citizens be released in return for this deal, it is just a desperate situation. And folks, that is why we are asking all of you to take the place of the administration and to stand up for Pastor Saeed. You can join us by going to aclj.org or by calling 877-989-2255. Again, the number is 877-989-2255. But David, you bring up kindness and the fact that President says that all of his foreign policy is rooted in kindness. Well, I'm going to play a clip from Pastor Saeed's wife, Nagme, and I want you to juxtapose this against the president's comments and tell me whether or not you think the president is acting out of kindness when it comes to this American family, this pastor's wife, and his two children. This is Nagme, Bite 19.
As someone who's raised in the U.S., it breaks my heart that my government has, you know, left me and my husband in a time we need them most. There's a family hurting. This might be on the news many times. Many people hear about it, but really, there's two little children that are crying every single night, asking for their dad to come home. Mm. Today, they're praying, you know, God, don't let him die. They're really worried about him, and this is too much for a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old to handle.
Well, I tell you that those bites. That's exactly right to juxtapose that bite with President Obama's self-regard about his own kindness. You know, it is astonishing to me that the State Department, that the president can applaud himself for his kindness, that the State Department can applaud itself for its quiet diplomacy, while we have so obviously and manifestly failed American citizens. We've got the phone lines are really lighting up right now. Let's go to the lines. We've got Abe from Illinois. Abe from Illinois, you are on the line.
Yes, I agree with everything you've said, and you can add one more thing to it. He's our chief abortionist, and I do believe in my heart of hearts that he doesn't care about Americans at all.
Well, you know, you raise a great point about abortion. I mean, this is a president who asked for God to bless Planned Parenthood. I mean, this is a president who's overseeing the HHS abortion pill mandate, mandating that employers provide free of charge abortion pills to employees. I mean, I can't think of a president in our lifetimes more committed to abortion on demand. You know, President Clinton was a pro-abortion president, and his formulation was safe, legal, and rare. You won't even hear the word rare out of President Obama's mouth. This is a man who has doubled down on the abortion industry. Than, let's not forget, he was willing to shut down the government in 2011 over Planned Parenthood funding.
You know, absolutely. He was also willing to ensure that Obamacare did not get across the line unless abortion was a key component. Just a quick refresher on this, David. I mean, a lot of our listeners are going to remember that there was an executive order signed by the president that he promised would keep abortion on demand out of health care plans. Well, just this week, it was announced that the D.C. Exchange, which the vast majority of members, senators, congressmen, and their staffers are going to be a part of, only 12 plans out of way more than 100 even have the option to deny abortion coverage. So the vast majority of people who are enrolling in the D.C. exchanges are going to have no option but to take abortion as part of their coverage. And, of course, that goes along with the abortion surcharge, the mandatory abortion that's going to be forced upon millions of Americans. I have to agree with the caller. This has been at the center of a great number of his domestic policies and international policies as well.
Well, and, you know, that's going to segue into something we're going to be talking about more and more as the days go by, because we have a case right now in the Supreme Court of the United States over the abortion pill mandate. It's likely to be held pending the outcome of the Hobby Lobby case. We're going to be filing a brief in the Hobby Lobby case on behalf of members of Congress, and also on behalf of a committee of our own ACLJ members who want to protect life and protect religious liberty. So you're going to be hearing an awful lot more about that issue as time goes by. But I'm very glad the caller brought it up, because this is part of an entire worldview. You can't just isolate these things into separate segments. There's an entire worldview in operation here that is deeply, deeply problematic. We have got to Douglas next on the line from Mississippi, I believe. Douglas, go ahead. You're on.
Yes, I'm calling from the state of Mississippi, and I'm a full-blooded Democrat, and I agree with everything you're saying about the pastor.
Well, thank you, Douglas. I mean, this is not a partisan issue. Not a partisan issue at all. Bob Beckel, who is a full-blooded Democrat just like you, said this, bite two.
I just, for the life of me, cannot understand for a nuclear scientist why you couldn't get a pastor and a former FBI agent and some one other person out. Seems to me that's a pretty good deal. But why? But worse than that, it wasn't raised. And somebody better explain to me why the least didn't bring it up.
You know, and we could supplement that bite with any number of other bites that are where Democrats are coming forward saying this deal with Iran is a bad deal. That what's happened, we've had liberal members of the media raising Pastor Saeed's case. This is something that crosses partisan lines, Stan. There has been bipartisan support for Pastor Saeed in Congress, and that's one of the things that gives us hope as we seek to go around the Obama administration to continue to maintain sanctions on Iran until they release Pastor Saeed.
Yeah, no question about it. The first example that you played for Douglas is Bob Beckel. He's been a strong advocate on this, calling Pastor Saeed one of our own and really taking no excuses for why this administration has not brought his case up. You know, I would just tell him it's very simple why the administration didn't bring it up. It didn't make their priority list. If it did, it would have been brought up in the conversation that involved us releasing Iranian prisoners that were guilty of security crimes. I mean, it's really just that simple. And I would just say, as we sort of parlay this, David, into the sanctions issue, to whether or not sanctions should pass, if you think back to July when the House passed their most recent version of sanctions on Iran, it passed by a vote of 400-20. Vast bipartisan support, and 378 of those members were actually co-sponsors of this legislation. So when it comes to Pastor Saeed or how we deal with Iran in general, this is a bipartisan issue. It is really the President of the United States, and I would add this week the Majority Leader of the United States Senate, Harry Reid, because he is listening to the White House on them. They are really very close to alone on this, and it is time for the American people to say no more. We've got to be aggressive with Iran, and we've got to accept nothing less than Pastor Saeed's release.
That's exactly right. And if you want to join in that call, the petition line is 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. And that's to call on Congress to go around the Obama administration and to recognize what is as plain as the nose on our face, that this is a jihadist regime. It understands strength, not weakness. It understands strength and will respond to strength. Sanctions will not be eased until their nuclear program is over and Pastor Saeed is free. It's pretty simple. The Obama administration won't stand up. You have to stand up. 877-989-2255.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. It is an outrage. There are now reports that the Obama administration secretly agreed to release a top Iranian scientist arrested in this country for attempting to aid Iran's nuclear program as part of that so-called nuclear deal reached with Iran. But American pastor Saeed Abedini, imprisoned in Iran simply because of his faith, is left behind. His release, not even brought up by the U.S. as a precondition to the talks. So the U.S. frees an Iranian scientist being held on serious charges, and Iran continues to hold a U.S. citizen with no pressure applied by the U.S. to release him. Unbelievable. This week, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow is leading a team to Europe, part of the ACLJ's ongoing effort in this country and abroad to generate support for Pastor Saeed. You can help. Demand President Obama and Congress renew sanctions until Iran abandons its nuclear program and releases Pastor Saeed. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is David French, Senior Counsel in our media offices with Than Bennett in our Washington, D.C. offices. We're talking about Pastor Saeed. We're talking about the Iranian nuclear program. And we're here with you because Jay and Jordan are right now in a diplomatic mission in Germany to try to save Pastor Saeed, working with European contacts to try to bring pressure to bear on Iran. The way we've been putting it, and it's absolutely true, is they're doing the job the Obama administration has refused to do. They are exerting every effort to get Pastor Saeed home. The Obama administration exerts virtually no effort to get Pastor Saeed home. So they are doing the work of the Obama administration right now, the work the Obama administration refuses to do. And that's something that, you know, then that is something that it continues to boggle my mind. But I think there is actually some hope out there. If you have looked at the Democratic reaction to this deal with Iran, this deal that left Pastor Saeed behind, allowed Iran to enrich uranium, and allowed Iran to keep every single one of its, 18,000 centrifuges? And for those who don't know, centrifuges are an incredibly important aspect of the process of creating and building the right kind of nuclear material to build a nuclear weapon. So it's safe to say, I think, Than, that if you look across the aisle to the Democratic side, that the applause for President Obama's deal has been a little bit muted here.
Yeah, the reaction in the United States Senate, where it really matters, David, was almost universally negative. I mean, I think the strongest comment came from a member of the Democrat leadership, Chuck Schumer, who called the deal disproportionately good for Iran. He came out supporting additional sanctions. I think a vast majority of the United States Senate would impose additional sanctions. The troubling part, David, is that Harry Reid was in that camp before this deal was struck. And we know since it was struck, the White House has been calling Harry Reid. They dispatched a video of Secretary Kerry asking the United States Senate to stand down. I remember this is a fairly short-term deal for this first step, so really the White House's goal here is delay. They're trying to get the Senate to say, even if you support sanctions, go ahead and delay it for a few weeks, get us through the holidays, get us through the New Year's, and maybe people will stop thinking about this. That's what we've got to avoid, David. We've got to make sure that whether it's people that who care about Pastor Saeed or people who care about making sure that Iran does not get a nuclear bomb, we need to make sure that this issue stays front and center so that the White House cannot convince Harry Reid and the United States Senate to just delay it.
Well, that's exactly right. And you don't have to trust what we say that Senator Schumer said. Here's his actual words, Byte 22.
Iran simply freezes its nuclear capabilities while we reduce the sanctions. That is not a proportionate agreement. The disproportionality of this agreement makes it more likely that Democrats and Republicans will join together and pass additional sanctions when we return in December. I intend to discuss that possibility with my colleagues.
Look, opposing jihad and understanding the intentions of jihadists is not and should not be a partisan issue. So I applaud Senator Schumer for this statement because it is absolutely recognizing reality. We've been spending a lot of time in this half hour talking about Pastor Saeed's plight. You know, we should also focus on what it means for Iran to have a nuclear bomb. I mean, there's several different components to this mess. One of them is that we've given Iran an enormous amount of financial relief while they're torturing an American citizen, literally in chains for his Christian faith. That's an abomination all by itself. And then when you add on top of that the incredibly significant reality that Iran gets to keep enriching uranium, gets to keep all its centrifuges, and really gives us nothing but promises about its own nuclear program, we're talking, Than, about a jihadist regime that has American blood on its hands And we can't do any better than that as the world's only superpower in our negotiations with this terrorist regime.
I think that's what quiet diplomacy gets you, David. I mean, I think the best evidence of this was Bibi Netanyahu, who talked about this as being a historic mistake. He came right out of the gates opposed to it, and of course he would, because Israel is likely to be the first target of Iran. But just to reach back to the comments you played from Senator Schumer, David, when he talked about he was going to discuss this vote with his colleagues, and specifically Harry Reid, I mean, that must have been quiet diplomacy as well, because, David, the Senate is only scheduled to be here for 1 week, next week, and there is no vote scheduled on this. And I don't want to be all discouraging. I would just say there's good news here. The administration in the United States Senate might be standing down on this, but we don't need their permission to speak out and to stand up for Pastor Saeed. That's why we continue to raise this. That's why we continue to bring you Nagmeh's personal comments about what she and her family are going through. And that's why we are calling on everyone, David, to call now 877-989-2255. Jay and Jordan are in Germany right now. Well, we engage the United States government, but if they are not going to do the job, we are willing to take this around the globe and to ask other nations to stand up for our citizen as well.
Let's go back to the phone, Stan. We've got William from Georgia on the line. William, go ahead.
How you doing, Stan? I just want to say this two quick things real fast. You know, it amazes me how the president only reacts when pressure is applied to him. It seems like, you know, if he really cares so much about the American people, so to speak, and about our affairs, then he would do things based off his own and not have to be pressured in order to make amends. But the second question I have is, I was watching MSNBC on TV, and you know they was talking about, you know, the healthcare website or whatnot, talking about its work. And what do you think about that?
Wow, how much time do you have for me to tell you what I think about that healthcare website? But you're exactly right. Pressure is required to get any positive movement from this president. And you know, there has been some positive movement. I mean, we have actually, there was more than 600,000 people who signed the first petition for Pastor Saeed, more than 600,000 people. And the president raised Pastor Saeed's name with President Rouhani of Iran. And we applauded the president for that when that occurred. So there is evidence that pressure can work. That's why we have to redouble the pressure now that Pastor Saeed is in a worse prison. He's been robbed at knife point. His plight is worse. As for the website, Than, oh my goodness, where do you start with that? You know, it's interesting that even though they proclaim that it's a vastly better user experience for the majority of users, they're still not providing information to the media about how effective the website actually is, and I think that speaks volumes.
Well, I would just say there are still vastly more Americans that are losing their health insurance than are able to get it through Obamacare, regardless of what you think about the product once you are able to get it, David. And that problem is going to get dramatically worse next year when the employer mandate kicks in. So there's a whole other issue there to talk about on the Obamacare website. It doesn't work. It wasn't tested. And once you actually get to the product, it's going to be even worse. But, David, on this issue of Pastor Saeed and Iran, I think that the caller is right. Pressure on the president, pressure on these Senate Democrats who actually have to go back and get reelected is the key. I think that is the main reason that people like Robert Menendez and Mark Pryor and Mary Landrieu have come out opposed to the deal and at least open to the idea of sanctions. I mean, I think they would have liked to stand behind the president, David, but the fact that they feel like they were lied to and the fact that the United States got nothing out of this deal, it leads them to be susceptible to supporting sanctions, but they're only going to do that if their voters insist on it.
Well, you know, we gave Iran billions in relief. We gave them our trust. They're giving us nothing. And in fact, they're even treating our Americans worse. While all of this dialogue was going on, while all this quiet diplomacy was going on, what did they do? They sent Pastor Saeed to a worse prison in a direct rebuke to the United States of America, and we gave them billions in relief. That is unconscionable. Stand with us, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. It is time to go around the Obama administration, direct to members of Congress who on a bipartisan basis reject this deal. Let's make them act.
Danger.
Iran continues to hold a U.S. citizen with no pressure applied by the U.S. to release him. Unbelievable. This week, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow is leading a team to Europe, part of the ACLJ's ongoing effort in this country and abroad to generate support for Pastor Saeed. You can help. Demand President Obama and Congress renew sanctions until Iran abandons its nuclear program and releases Pastor Saeed. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is David French in our media office, along with Than Bennett in our D.C. office. We are here because Jay and Jordan are in Germany right now. They are in Germany working to save Pastor Saeed, meeting with foreign leaders, meeting with leaders in the religious community, doing everything that they can do to bring Pastor Saeed home, doing everything that the Obama administration should be doing but is not doing. You know, one of the things we've been talking about is how there is a bipartisan consensus that the deal with Iran is bad. There is a bipartisan consensus that you cannot surrender to jihadists. We've played bite after bite showing this, and this is one where Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, this is somebody who is extremely liberal, very loyal supporter of the President of the United States, was asked a key question, and listen to the answer, bite 30.
Are we safer now than we were a year ago, 2 years ago? In general,
I don't think so. I think terror is up worldwide. The statistics indicate that. The fatalities are way up. The numbers are way up. There are new bombs, very big bombs, trucks being reinforced for those bombs. There are bombs that go through magnetometers. The bomb maker is still alive. There are more groups than ever, and there is huge malevolence out there.
Dan, this is Senator Feinstein telling the truth right here. I mean, we are living in dangerous times. The Obama administration is making them more dangerous. He's breaking our foreign policy, and it cannot easily be fixed.
No question about it. And yet we made a deal with them, David, that is based on trust. We agreed to ease these sanctions in exchange for their word that they would freeze the enrichment of uranium. Not confirmation, just their word that they would freeze it. They also don't have to eliminate any of it. And I thought the majority leader of the House, Eric Cantor, actually said it best. He's a Republican, but right in line with what you just played from Dianne Feinstein when he asked the rhetorical question, since when do we trust Iran? And of course, the answer is we don't trust Iran. But David, we made a deal that centers around trusting them.
That's exactly right. Let's go to the phones. We've got Patrick from Tennessee. Patrick, you're on the line.
Thank you for taking my call. It's a travesty that we have a pastor, a United States citizen, who's being held in Iran for things of his faith. And we went through this once when the Carter administration, when we had a bunch of hostages over there who were being held against their will, and took President Reagan, well, actually, Carter did get him out of prison the last moment.
Here's the thing about President Carter. You know, as much weakness as he showed during that entire hostage crisis, he did try military rescue. It tragically and sadly failed. But here, you know, the Carter administration was more aggressive than the Obama administration. I mean, did you ever think you would say the words the Carter administration was more aggressive than any other American administration? But the Carter administration tried not to leave Americans behind. It looks to me like the Obama administration is virtually trying to leave an American behind here. Let's go to Rich in New Jersey. He's been hanging on for quite some time. Rich, thanks for hanging on.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
I think we're all missing a point. I firmly believe that this was done intentionally, leaving the pastor behind. And I haven't heard anybody mention that. Let's face it, we Christians, especially listeners of ACLJ, we're not happy with not much that he does. And he's fully aware of the opposition that he's getting from Christian radio. This was done intentionally.
Well, I'm going to agree with you to a point. It is an intentional act not to make him a key part of the negotiations. It is an intentional act to exclude him from the negotiations and to exclude him from any deal. It would be the United States of America has within its capacity the ability to say no deal without our American citizens being released. We have that ability. It's an intentional act to exclude them from a deal, and that's unconscionable. 877-989-2255 to go around the Obama administration, call on bipartisan coalitions from Congress to maintain the sanctions, hold firm against a nuclear Iran, hold firm for Pastor Saeed, 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. We'll be back with more.
It is an outrage. There are now reports that the Obama administration secretly agreed to release a top Iranian scientist arrested in this country for attempting to aid Iran's nuclear program as part of that so-called nuclear deal reached with Iran. But American pastor Saeed Abedini, imprisoned in Iran simply because of his faith, is left behind. His release not even brought up by the U.S. as a precondition to the talks. So the U.S. frees an Iranian scientist being held on serious charges, and Iran continues to hold a U.S. citizen with no pressure applied by the U.S. to release him. Unbelievable. This week, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow is leading a team to Europe, part of the ACLJ's ongoing effort in this country and abroad to generate support for Pastor Saeed. You can help. Demand President Obama and Congress renew sanctions until Iran abandons its nuclear program and releases Pastor Saeed. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, as we continue to talk about Pastor Saeed's case and specifically about the sanctions that we are pushing for here in the United States, I wanted to make sure that we keep front and center what this is all about. And of course, that is Pastor Saeed, his wife Nagme, and their two young children. Nagme actually had the chance about a month ago to go to Samaritan's Purse and tell the story that their family has gone through, tell their testimony, talk about their faith, talk about Pastor Saeed's situation and his experience in prison. This was a very touching and moving testimony, just her telling this story directly. And while we talk about it every day, every once in a while, I think it's good to go back and hear this directly from Nagme. It really brings it home. It brings that personal touch to this story. So let's go ahead and air this again. This is Nagme at Samaritan's Purse from about a month ago.
As many of you know, my husband's in an Iranian prison right now. He got an 8-year sentence. I want to share a little bit about my story. I grew up here in the U.S. I accepted Christ at age 9. My brother had a vision of Jesus, and that's how we came to know Christ. We came from a very strong Muslim family, and we were in California. We went to Idaho as an attempt for my dad to de-brainwash us and find a small city where he could work on us and de-brainwash us from the Western religion. And actually, 13 years later, both my parents and my sister gave their hearts to Christ. So they were running away to Idaho to de-brainwash us, and that's where they accepted Christ. So, but it's been from day one when I first came to know Christ, there was someone initially gave us a Bible, and then that was taken away by my parents, and we weren't allowed to read the Bible or pray or go to church until I turned 18 and went to college. But very watched carefully, they were trying to teach Islam, and no, this is not the right way. But we kept our faith, we kept praying, and when I first got a Bible, one of the first, I think it was the Psalm, like New Testament Bible, was a Psalm that I read as a 9-year-old, and it said, it was Psalm 2, and it said, today I've begotten you, and ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. And I don't know why, it just jumped out at me, and it's a verse I remembered, even when my Bible was taken away from me. And I would just pray, and I would say, Lord, I want the nation of Iran. And I just would pray about it, and I'd say, okay, I just want to see Iran saved and with the gospel. And it was not till later, it was actually soon after September 11, that I went back to Iran. And I just felt God telling me, I'm going to send you with my gospel, and that's how you're going to, that's how I want to address the Middle East, with the gospel of love that replaces the hate. That you would give your life for your enemy instead of someone, being a vessel of hate and killing others. And so when I went back, it was soon after I met Saeed, and his background was pretty radical. He came from a very strong Muslim family. He was being recruited by Hezbollah. He had a lot of, before he came to know Christ, he had a lot of hatred towards Israel, and he wanting to be a vessel by Hezbollah to attack Israel, and he had heard a Christian pastor say Jesus was God, and he was ready to take that pastor's life. He had a lot of hate, and Jesus met him, and one of the most powerful testimonies he says is that one night he was confused because he'd seen some things, and he was confused, is the Quran true or the Bible? And he had a vision. He was sleeping, and he heard a voice say, Saeed, I'm coming back soon. Go preach my gospel. And he heard that 3 times, and the third time it was a loud voice, and he said, okay, and amen, and he saw the back of Jesus walking away to where I think I showed Jim Daly a picture of from his bedroom. You can see Evan Prison, and it's interesting. And he saw Jesus walking away towards the mountain where there's the Evan Prison is, and where he's at right now. But I want to share a few things in my life in terms of persecution. I grew up in the U.S., so I never really experienced persecution. I did from my parents in terms of not letting me read the Bible. And I did from my peers because even at that young age, I was sharing Christ at school. We were in secular schools and so on. But really the first time I was, as someone raised in the U.S., I was shocked was when I had a gun pointed to my head. Soon after I met Saeed and we were married, we had a house church leader who called us and said, I'm scared, I've been followed, and come to my house, I need help. So we waited till it was midnight and we went to his house. And as soon as we knocked on his door, and for the first time in my life, the scariest thing happened. We got attacked by these guards with guns, and they threw us in these cars, and they took us down these alleys. We didn't know where they'd taken us. They took us to this place, and this man, the people kept passing us until they passed us to this top interrogator, and he said, if you say you're Muslim, you get to go home right now with your husband. If you say you're a Christian, you will go to woman's prison, he will go to man's prison, you will be tortured, raped, and you will die. Let me promise you that. And they had guns pointed to us and said, Christian, death. Islam, you get to live. And for the first time in my life, for a few seconds, my faith was tested. For a few seconds, I was thinking, okay, this is real. What's in front of me is real. The gun, the threats, and these are vicious. I mean, from their face was evil. Like, I knew what they said about the tortures and the rapes were true, and they had the guns, and they were saying, you're going to die. And I just felt the Lord whisper, don't deny me, and I will protect you. And so he gave me the faith. Franklin Graham was talking about we might face persecution, and we always think how, maybe in the U.S. You know, I never thought when I came to the U.S. I'd face persecution again. I never thought I'd go back. But for that, he gives grace for that moment, because I always thought, what am I going to do? Am I going to deny him? Because that was so real, the gun. And he gave me grace and faith to say, I'm a Christian. And then he said, your testimony of how you became a Christian is going to be used. This is going to be your file, your criminal file. And so I gave my testimony, and he said, you've been brainwashed by the West. And he got very angry. And here I was thinking, it's getting worse. It's getting, God, you told me you're going to protect me. And then he asked Saeed, he said, how about you? And Saeed gave his life. He said, I'm a Christian, gave his life story. He was getting madder because I came to know Christ in the West, and I came to know at a young age, so I didn't know any better. But he came to know Christ at 20, at a full age of maturity. Muslims believe that's, you know, for men, they've reached full age. And he came to know without any missionaries. And his mom, when we were arrested, was actually still serving in a mosque. So he got very angry, and the situation kept getting worse. And I was saying, Lord, you said you're going to protect us. And his threats were getting worse. He's like, it's done, it's finished. He handed our case over and said, you're going to prison. But before, I want to talk to you. And he was angry. His like, and he took Saeed to this a courtyard where I could see from the window of the interrogation room. You could see in the courtyard. They were talking, and it was heated about 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and I'm praying, and knowing Saeed, because he came from a radical background, radicals never intimidated him. He said they're just like me. They think he would pray for Paul's, you know, and I'm like, I just know he's sharing Christ with him, and it's just gonna be our death sentence even more, and actually the house church leader that was with me was praying that he wasn't sharing Christ. He said, just pray your husband has wisdom and he's not sharing Christ. And this is like giving evidence directly, like evangelism directly to the government. This is death 100%. And so he was praying he wasn't sharing. They come out, and there's other interrogators or soldiers, and this guy's trying to hold back tears. And then he's trying to hold back tears because of his colleagues. And then he says, just go. He takes the file. He rips it. He says, just go. And as we're leaving, he whispers in our ears. He says, can I have a Bible? And the reason I tell that story, because from that I've drawn a lot of strength even through this trial, because I know that men can threaten and men can say, we're going to kill you. You're going to have 8 years. You're going to have 20 years. But ultimately, God is in control. And so it's given me a lot of peace whenever I look back. And also what the Lord taught me through that was that he really wanted, God had us in that interrogation room for that guy. And if we would have denied our faith, he might have never come to know Jesus. And so when he, with us standing up through the grace and the strength he gives us, because it wasn't my flesh was very scared as a young girl coming from the U.S. having guns pointed. I was very scared, but he gave the strength to say that, and he was reaching the lost. So when I learned that when I stand up for my faith, it's a double. He's, you know, using it. I need to do that because there's people he wants to reach. And so even through this journey, it's been difficult. I know I have to close really quick. But that was a very special story for me because it just was the first time of intense persecution. And we were arrested many times, and Saeed was always doing things that picking up people and, you know, and there's many, many different stories.
Folks, again, that was Pastor Saeed's wife, Nagme, from about a month ago. Listen, we have got to stand with her. If the United States government will not, we have to stand in the gap for Pastor Saeed, for Nagme, for Jacob, for Rebecca. Call now, 877-989-2255.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. It is an outrage. There are now reports that the Obama administration secretly agreed to release a top Iranian scientist arrested in this country for attempting to aid Iran's nuclear program as part of that so-called nuclear deal reached with Iran. But American pastor Saeed Abedini, imprisoned in Iran simply because of his faith, is left behind. His release not even brought up by the U.S. as a precondition to the talks. So the U.S. frees an Iranian scientist being held on serious charges, and Iran continues to hold a U.S. citizen with no pressure applied by the U.S. to release him. Unbelievable. This week, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow is leading a team to Europe, part of the ACLJ's ongoing effort in this country and abroad to generate support for Pastor Saeed. You can help. Demand President Obama and Congress renew sanctions until Iran abandons its nuclear program and releases Pastor Saeed. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Everyone, welcome back to the broadcast. Listen, I want to do a couple of things for you in this segment of the broadcast. But first of all, if you have not yet signed the petition for Pastor Saeed's release, this most recent one since his move to the more dangerous prison, the fact that he is not being cared for in that prison, the fact that he is enduring threats from inmates, I need you to call now, 877-989-2255. As Jay and Jordan are in Europe advocating on behalf of Pastor Saeed, we need to make sure that the domestic voice from the United States continues to say loud. So if you have not yet signed that petition, please do so today, 877-989-2255. Yesterday, we played a bit of Jay's interview from Herman Cain's radio broadcast. There was also a portion of that interview that talked about Pastor Saeed's case, got Herman Cain's thoughts on it. Jay had a chance to update Herman's listeners on this case. I wanted you to hear that interview. Let's go ahead and roll that now.
One of the ways that we make our government work is we utilize the justice system when we believe that there have been some unjust acts, especially by our government. And one of the ones that I am excited to see in progress is the one that's being led by the ACLJ, the American Center for Law and Justice, where that's headed up by Mr. Jay Sekulow. Hello, Jay. Welcome.
Hey, Herman. Thanks for having me.
It is great
to be with you.
It is great to have you with us again, my friend. Before we get to the court case, why do you think that the administration and Kerry didn't even bring up Pastor Saeed?
You know, Herman, it's inexplicable, number one. I mean, what happened was so outrageous that there you're across the table from the captors of three Americans. It's Saeed Abedini and Amir Hakmani and Bob Levinson.
Right.
And you don't bring them home. It's inexplicable. I think the clear statement that we got, I spoke to the State Department yesterday at length. I sent a very strong letter
right.
to Secretary of State Kerry, outraged at this, before it even happened, saying don't ink this deal without bringing these Americans home. Forgetting the merits of the deal for a moment. And the fact is, this was not a priority for the administration. They want to change the dialogue going on in the country so desperately off of Obamacare that they were literally willing to allow Americans to rot in an Iranian jail,
right.
cut a deal with the regime that's holding them captive, hoping that the narrative will keep their failure of Obamacare off the news. So I think that's really what it was. And it was not a priority for the administration. But, Herman, it's disgraceful. I mean, you and I have talked about this before. It's disgraceful.
Yes, it's disgraceful.
Americans sitting there
yes.
rotting in these unbelievably awful prisons, and the president is having speeches, and John Kerry should have had standing next to him in Geneva, Amir Hakmani, Saeed Abedini, and Bob Levinson, but he did not.
You know, if they had negotiated a release of this pastor and others as part of this non-deal, at least
yep.
that would have been something that we would have gotten
yes.
out of it, and that would have been the lives of some Americans who have been unfairly held
right.
because of something that they really didn't do. But we ended up with a promise or a timeout on the part of the Iranians, and they didn't even bring it up, and that is disgraceful. And I happen
yep.
to agree with you on the point that you made. They are so determined to try to get the focus off of the failed Obamacare system, that they were looking for anything that they can call a deal. And I don't have to tell you that most people that are close to this, experts, and even Benjamin Netanyahu said this is not a deal where the United States and the other world powers really gain anything from this deal. And that is unfortunate.
Right.
Well, I hope that people are going to continue to fight for his release.
We are. We are. I appreciate
good.
You covering it.
Very good. Very good.
Again, folks, that was Jay on Herman Cain's radio broadcast. Also yesterday, Fox News program The Five airs at 5 o'clock Eastern time. Bob Beckles, one of the co-hosts there, he's a very liberal Democrat, but he has been one of the strongest voices, one of the strongest advocates in the media for Pastor Saeed. The Five aired a segment talking about Saeed, talking about the fact that the United States government did not make his release a priority during these P5+1 negotiations. This was very informative. These are voices from across the political spectrum, folks, demonstrating that Pastor Saeed's case is not a partisan one. I wanted you to hear this exchange. Again, this is from yesterday on The Five.
Part of the recent nuke deal between the U.S. and Iran involved the release of an Iranian nuclear scientist who was arrested in California. But what about three Americans, including a Christian pastor and former FBI agent, who are still being held by the mullahs? Why haven't we heard about them, and why were they not in the midst of the negotiations? This is something that I've talked about for some weeks. I just, for the life of me, cannot understand, for a nuclear scientist, why you couldn't get a pastor and a former FBI agent and some one other person out. It seems to me that's a pretty good deal, but why? But worse than that, it wasn't raised. And somebody better explain to me why the leaks didn't bring it up. Dana?
Well, diplomacy, as you know, having worked at the State Department, is never easy, and it's not clear-cut, and there is information behind the scenes that we don't know about. They might be in danger that we don't know about, so if they talk about it, there could be even more problems. So I try to give the administration a little pass on that, although they did say proactively that they did not bring up Pastor Saeed in the discussions in Geneva, which seems preposterous if we are allowing a scientist who can actually make a bomb allowed to go so that he can...
What do you think, Bud Boy?
That was my nickname in high school. I always get the feeling the White House actively avoids doing anything initially suggested by Fox News. Like, if we say something about the pastor, they're like, no, we're not doing it. If we give any kind of suggestion about anything or do a story, they avoid it. So I think we have to trick the White House, and we have to applaud them for not doing something. Like, I think it's great that they didn't get the pastor.
Yeah.
Maybe that will get them to go.
Yeah, leave
them
there. We'd love it if they just left them there.
We should do it as an experiment.
Yeah, reverse psychology. Might work.
What
I need a belt.
A nuclear scientist, seems to me that's worth at least three draft choices, isn't it?
And I look at it differently. You may hate me for this. I'm a practicing Catholic Christian who would love to see the release of this pastor. However, I think that if you're going to negotiate with terrorists like Iran, you keep it on the issues. You keep the financial pressure on them. Let them come to the bargaining table with concrete options to reduce their nuclear weapons or weapons-grade material, and stop playing around with, we're going to release one of your scientists, you give us one of our pastors. Well, stop playing that game.
Some concrete things. But, Lisa, what do you think about this point? I mean, should they have not at least raised the issue? Every time we go to China, we raise human rights.
Yes.
Why not raise this guy's name?
And it's strange that they didn't, because when the president called the new leader of Iran, Rouhani, he actually brought up the pastor.
Right.
And to his credit, Obama brought it up. But the fact that he didn't follow up is mind-boggling. And if I'm the Iranians, I'm like, are you really serious about getting him back? I mean, it can't be that big of a deal. You mentioned him on the phone, okay, but you didn't bring him up in negotiations? Now, maybe there is something that we don't know, but the time to really enact change in the Iranians was in 2009 during the Green Revolution. If you really wanted to change the mentality of the Iranians, the time was then. Now, too late.
And these negotiations have been going on for well over a year, and I'm not.
Again, folks, that was from Fox News broadcast The Five. Listen, as we close the broadcast, I need you to go to your phones. It is time for the United States Senate to follow the lead of the House, which passed these sanctions on Iran 400-20 back in July. It is time for them to put actions behind their words and pass new sanctions on Iran. Call now 877-989-2255. We continue to encourage the administration to take the lead for Pastor Saeed. But in the meantime, the United States Senate needs to pass these sanctions. 877-989-2255.
Iran continues to hold a U.S. citizen with no pressure applied by the U.S. to release him. Unbelievable. This week, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow is leading a team to Europe, part of the ACLJ's ongoing effort in this country and abroad to generate support for Pastor Saeed. You can help. Demand President Obama and Congress renew sanctions until Iran abandons its nuclear program and releases Pastor Saeed. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online. ACLJ.